She was born the daughter of educators in a small town in a highly traditional and mostly segregated culture. She dreamed of being a doctor. She attended an all-girls school until that school was shut down by an increasingly corrupt and unjust government, and her town taken over by radical terrorists who advocated for the extreme subjugation of women. She saw what this was doing to her community. She listened deeply to her family, her friends, as they poured out their broken hearts. She listened deeply to her own broken heart. And she felt a deepening compassion within her spirit and an increasing empowerment to do something about this. And so, gifted by God and encouraged by her father, Malala Yousafzai began writing a journal. That journal would eventually be broadcast on the BBC about the experiences of living under Taliban control and the needs for justice, for human dignity and respect and rights, and for peace and access to education for women and all people in Pakistan. She was 11 years old, an unlikely advocate for her people. Not unlike another unlikely advocate in our story for today. As I mentioned, the people of Israel were living under Persian rule, and Xerxes was the king at this time. He was the ruler over 127 different provinces, all the way from India to Ethiopia. And Esther was chosen to be his new queen. She was not Persian, and she kept her identity to herself. Mordecai, as we just read, is her uncle, and he hears of a plot for Xerxes to be assassinated, and he alerts Esther, and Esther alerts the authorities, and Xerxes' life is saved. And Esther and Mordecai are esteemed, respected, celebrated. And then one of Xerxes' leaders, Haman, came walking down the street one day. And as was the custom in that culture, as one of the royal leaders would walk by, people would bow in respect. Mordecai did not. And this sent Haman into a furious rage. He went immediately to the king and told the king that all Jewish people were despicable, abominations in their city and their culture. And he urged Xerxes to write this decree to eliminate the entire nation of Israel. Mordecai responds in grieving, mourning for his people. And as we just read in the story, he feels compelled to reach out to Esther, his niece, someone who is living in the courts of power, to advocate for their people. Just as they advocated to save Xerxes' life, now he's asking Esther to advocate to Xerxes to save the lives of their whole nation. Esther's hesitant initially, understandably. She knows her husband well enough to know that even she can't enter into his presence without an invitation, without a golden scepter of welcome. And she hasn't seen him for a month. Mordecai hears this and responds with wise and familiar words. In essence, he says, "You're risking your life and our lives one way or another, by either going to the king and advocating or by staying silent and being silenced permanently." And then in a wise and wonderful way, he says, "Who knows? Maybe you are who you are and you're living where you are for such a time as this. And Esther hears these words, and they go straight to her heart. And she's moved with that power of connection and compassion. Do you know that the original word for compassion is connected to the word that we use for guts, bowels? When we are moved to compassion, as Esther was in this situation, it reaches down to the core of our being, and it moves us. Often we're moved to tears. In this case, Esther is moved beyond tears to action. She goes as an advocate for her people to her husband, risking her own life. And as the story continues, her husband receives her and listens to her advocate. And his heart is stirred. And he calls off the decree, and the people of Israel are saved. It's a beautiful and powerful story. The word for advocate does not appear in this story, even though that's what Esther is doing. But in the New Testament scriptures, that word appears often. And if you go back to the original language, the word is parakletos. Para, meaning close by, and kletos, meaning to call out to or on behalf of someone else. So you could take that word to mean one who is called to another side to be close by, for support, for aid, or one who pleads another's cause before others. Usually, the sense of the word is this. An advocate is a helper able to support and intercede for another because they are close enough to know that person and that situation. When Jesus uses this word advocate, he uses it in an interesting way. More often than not, especially in John's gospel, he uses advocate as a name for the divine presence, for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the one who is close enough to know us, because that Spirit is within us, the one who calls out to us to encourage us and empower us and remind us of our identity and our value and our calling as children of God. As Jesus said in our first reading, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Before Malala advocated for her people, her father advocated to her. Before Esther advocated for her people, Mordecai advocated to her. And they were reminded of their inherent worth as children of God, their unique gifts and situation in life. And they were encouraged and empowered to be who they are, which is a light to others, and to listen to their own hearts and to the hearts of others, and to respond, be moved by compassion to respond as advocates to others and for others. So it seems that in order to be an advocate in life, means first and foremost to listen. To listen to the advocate within us. And to listen to those advocates around us who are advocating to us. By getting close enough to allow others to be vulnerable with their experiences and emotions, their wounds and needs. And being vulnerable ourselves, with ourselves, with others. and to allow that vulnerability to open us up to deeper experiences of understanding and mutual respect and compassion, to be moved down to the core of our being and to respond as an advocate to others and for others, to action. It sounds like great news, does it not? It's exciting, it's powerful, it's life-giving, but it requires, like it did for Esther and like it did for Malala, a risk. And what is that risk? First and foremost, I sense that it's the risk of being vulnerable, of opening ourselves, the risk of letting go of the false comfort of being in the same space together and quote-unquote peacefully coexisting while avoiding those deeper and more challenging and hard conversations that sometimes we need to have with ourselves, that sometimes we need to be open to having with others. Providing a safe space for that to happen. A space that allows someone else to share the ways that they have been hurt or abused or misunderstood. The ways that they're feeling frustration or confusion or anxiety and worry. And to enter into that space in a way that we truly listen and allow ourselves to be moved with compassion. Even freely sharing of ourselves in the process. And then allowing that power to move us out of ourselves and out of that comfort zone. What I would call for my own life, that path of less resistance, and into a space of being an advocate, of being one who is able to speak up in words and even more often in actions for the benefit of others. For as Josh mentioned earlier, even the changing of structures that are unjust, that are oppressive, that are not leading the human community to flourishing and to hope and to life. This road of less resistance that I live in often, and that many of us may live in as well, may be where we feel most comfortable and even compatible, but it bears little resemblance to the road of advocacy. And I'm saying this to you today as someone who, when they hear the word advocacy, immediately begins growing a beak and feathers. Because more often than not, I want to step back and to remain in that place that's a comfort zone of peaceful coexistence because we don't allow ourselves to run the risk of being vulnerable or honest. And it's a shame because when I resist that vulnerability, I'm closing myself off to the story and experience of someone else, which often expands my awareness and my ability to feel and act upon compassion. It even shows me my blind spots. The pieces of life experience that I don't see, I don't understand, unless I open myself to hearing someone else's experience. When my son Ian is facing a challenging situation, often he will respond in such a way to let us know how he's feeling. And as is the case often for Ian, it's a very simple phrase. When he faces a challenge, at some point he'll stop and say, "This is hard. This is hard." Friends, I know that vulnerability is a risk. and that it is hard to allow ourselves to be more deeply open to each other. And sometimes even to speak our own personal truth that may be hard for someone else to hear. It may be hard for ourselves to hear. And yet what we learn from the example of Esther, the calling of Jesus, is that this is the road that leads to deeper and more profound and more transformative life. If we are the light of the world, that means that we are advocates, whether we realize it or not. And to act in such a way is to be true to the core of who we are. It can result in powerful impact. I think about the story of Malala and how that 11-year-old and her initial writings gradually began to gain the attention of the world. And it led not only to personal confirmation and celebration for Malala, she's the youngest winner of the Nobel Prize. But much more so, her advocacy has led to groups of people coming together and advocating for access to education for all women, not just in Pakistan, but in countries around the world through the Malala Foundation. I think of examples closer to home, like the Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good, the Southeast Organizing Project, right here in Southeast Portland, two groups that are engaging and empowering ordinary citizens from various faith communities and beyond faith communities to advocate for things like affordable housing for all, accessible health care, neighborhood safety. The Southeast Organizing Project actually came together to change an intersection that was increasingly unsafe, not just for children, but for all the citizens. And through banding together and taking intentional and prayerful action, they actually changed the setup of that intersection so that it's a safer space. They're now working on affordable housing for that same pocket of Southeast Portland. Ordinary citizens seeing an extraordinary need and meeting it with extraordinary presence. Some of you may remember Ron Werner, who came to us in August as a guest preacher on behalf of the Interfaith Movement for Immigrant and Refugee Justice, or EMERGE. And he told us about 123 men who are being unlawfully detained in detention centers in Sheridan, and children being detained at the NORCOR facility in the Dalles. These were people who came to this country seeking lawful asylum, and they were imprisoned for it. And how EMERGE was working with local faith communities, including the Presbyterian Church in Newburgh and other faith communities in the Dalles, to begin to see how they could respond in such a way. And they began by listening to the stories of the people who were incarcerated and working for the rights to be able to go and visit them personally, face to face. And then hearing those stories empowered them to try and advocate for their release. It led some of them in recent days to do a march, a walk, from Sheridan to the Dalles over 7 days as a way to raise awareness of these people's flight. Friends, over 100 of those men have been released. And they're released because people of faith came together and listened and prayed and allowed themselves to be opened in vulnerability and to be drawn out of a typical comfort zone and into a place of advocating for people they hardly know, for their freedom, for their dignity, for the chance to find a new start in this country. Emerge is an organization that's connected to Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, or EMO, one of our core missional partners for many years. Guess what that means, among other things? That those men were released in part because you took it upon your heart to pray for them, to support EMO and Emerge in their work. In that seemingly small of a way, you have embodied advocacy. Friends, it's part of our DNA. It's part of what makes us who we are. This life's calling is not meant to be always a comfortable, predictable path. Sometimes it calls us out from that path onto a different path that's leading in the same direction, but taking us through uncharted territory. And yet we have one who travels that road with us, who is our advocate, whispering to us through life circumstances and in those moments of stillness and silence that you are a beloved child of God. You are the light of the world. You are an advocate. And maybe, just maybe, who knows? You are who you are. We are who we are. And we are living in this place at this time for moments such as these. Amen.